everybody. Welcome back to the Teacher and the Admin podcast. I am Chris Felicello, known as the Admin. Unfortunately, for the listeners tonight, Gary, the teacher, is not going to be joining us, but fortunate for him and his daughter, Em, she is up for a big part in her school play, and he's there with her auditioning. So, but we're really excited about the guest, or I'm really excited about the guest we have. We have Amaris, the A-trained Scalia here. She is an assistant principal in Haverstraw Elementary School in the North Rockland School District. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Amaris.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I know it's late, and here in New York, it's dark already, and you're taking time away from your two boys and your husband to record this podcast with us. So thank you for that. Could you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your career, your family, whatever you want to tell us about you and yourself?
Sure. So I started my career in North Rockland School District about 15 years ago, and I was a substitute teacher. That's how I actually got into teaching. And my first experience was in a kindergarten classroom, and that was definitely eye-opening in terms of...
They're cute, but they take a lot of energy, for sure.
Definitely take a lot of energy, but it was an experience that did not scare me away. And I then actually received a teaching assistant position for special education. Okay. So I was able to push into classrooms, work with groups during resource room, and it was really a great experience to have that led me into teaching. I taught first grade and second grade for about 8 years, and then I moved to a curriculum specialist role for the district. And
what were some of the highlights? Or I know you did a lot in that position, and a lot of times those teacher on special assignment positions, teacher leader positions, whatever you call them, are really about the person, and we can call it whatever we want, but depending on how dynamic and how motivated and how willing the person is to make change or to make positive growth for the district, it really matters who that person is. So what were some of the things that you were able to accomplish in that spot?
So in that position, I think that something, you know, I loved teaching and I loved being in the classroom, but it helped to expand my contact with people in the district and working with teachers. So, you know, running professional development sessions, that was the time that the Common Core standards had just come out.
Yeah.
So we were working with a consultant on writing curriculum. So we were actually rewriting the ELA curriculum. So we had curriculum teams at each grade level. So that really awarded me the opportunity.
You designed the because we used a site called Rubicon, which was kind of a challenge at times to use. And I think you designed the site that we house our curriculum on now, still today, through Google Sites. Is that
right? So we I had helped develop Google Curriculum Corner through Google Sites, and that was really a collaborative project. Also, then with other specialists started joining in, and then we started pulling the coordinators from the secondary level.
I think you're being humble. I think you were the lead on that, but thank you. Good leadership there. You know, giving credit, but absolutely, yeah. So
it was you know, again, in that role of writing curriculum, working with teams, running sessions, and then also even having presentations at board meetings and PTA council meetings, it really just awarded me the opportunity to get to know more of the community outside of just a classroom and when you're within a building. And then also working with administrators, you know, scheduling.
Do you think it helped prepare you to be an administrator, being in that teacher leader position?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think our specialists, we call them specialists in North Rockland, I think probably six of the last specialists are now administrators in North Rockland. So,
yes.
It's kind of been a learning spot for aspiring administrators or people that we kind of push that way, right?
Right. No, it definitely is. And then I think, you know, more recently for me, you know, being an assistant principal and being back in a building, you know, as a specialist, you kind of globally see the whole district and the work that's going on, and you're able to work with kind of everyone. But then back in a building, you're now back with kids and back with teachers.
We forget sometimes, and we forget sometimes here at Central, and I try to remember this as, you know, somebody that is in my nice quiet office a lot of the time and doing work, and, you know, I think I'm so busy and think I'm doing such great things, and we forget, and it's so important not to, how busy those buildings are and how you're making split decisions, you know, every minute, and parents are calling you and kids are needing you and teachers have questions, and there's just so much that goes into running a building day to day, and especially your building, which is definitely a big building and a building with students that have a lot of needs. So, you know, was it good to have that perspective, you know, both sides of that kind of coin there?
It definitely was, because I think, you know, teaching in the classroom, you had the contact with kids, contact with parents, but then as specialists, then it was working with teachers and working with more of the adults. Mm-hmm. And now as an assistant principal and being an administrator in a building, it's like best of both worlds, right? So you're working with kids every day, having those conversations, going into classrooms, but then you're also working with all the adults that work with the kids and also the adults responsible for these little people. So, you know, it really is the best of both worlds.
And it is, you know, and you said the responsible for the adults that are working with the kids. And I think you said this to me first, and I've always talked about, you know, kids first, kids first, kids first. And I remember you cautioning me and saying, listen, yeah, it's kids first, but if we don't take care of the adults, then it's going to negatively affect the kids. So we have to remember that, yeah, we have to take care of our teachers. We have to remember to take care of our custodians. We have to take care of our clerical staff. You know, we're responsible for the people that are interacting the most with the kids. And I know you're in the classrooms and you know your kids very well. And I tried to do that as a principal as well. But we still don't spend the time with the kids that the teachers do. And you know, how do you build them up and how do you get them to trust you? And that was really what you wrote about in our book. And thank you for that. Amaris wrote the interlude for chapter one, Building Trust, and it was a great piece that she put in there. But what were some of the things that you do as an administrator to build trust with your teaching staff, with the rest of your staff?
Sure. So I really think, you know, initially when I actually was thinking of going into administration, I was thinking, okay, what's going to be like my focus? You know, okay, my first year is going to be all about building relationships. And what I come to realize, like, that's your focus every year.
Absolutely.
Right? It's not just the first year, because every year it's about either building relationships, making ones that are stronger, you know, making some stronger, or repairing some, because that happens, right? Things happen.
And we were just talking about an incident where you had given somebody some advice, a teacher that you respect is a wonderful teacher, and you know, something that you had said, she took as her perception of it was that you were criticizing her, weren't supporting her, and you had a great conversation on how to repair that and how you guys, you know, kind of weave. And again, we always make these stories up in our head of what somebody was thinking, and it's so important to be able to have that open communication, be able to talk, and if you're feeling something, to be able to go to your administrator and say, I'm upset by this. And at the same token, if you're upset by something that your employee is doing as an administrator, be able to go to them and say, hey, listen, I wasn't happy with this. You know, tell me about why you did this, or, you know, let's kind of talk this through.
Right. Because, and I think that, you know, one of the simple actions that I write about or I include is really communicating, because if we're not going to share, whether it's with kids or with adults, you know, how we're feeling, or, you know, just opening up about ourselves and getting to know one another, then how is any relationship ever going to form, or how is any trust ever going to build? Mm-hmm. And that's really important in
that
terms
of... That feedback is so important. Yes. And that, you know, we've talked about it with Mary, one of our principals in the district, the Brenny Brown book, and you know, how she talks about clear is kind. And if we're not being clear with people, and we're not setting our expectations, we're not telling them what success looks like, or what we think success looks like as their supervisor, then we're doing them an injustice. And if we are you know, talking behind their back, or making, you know, being angry in our minds and never giving them that feedback, we're doing them a disservice. We're not doing our job. The problem is those conversations aren't easy, especially with people you care about. Mm-hmm. So again, that trust piece, and as you said, every year your focus is relationships,
yes,
right?
Really. And the other thing I think is really important, especially, you know, I think just in life, not just in schools, but smiling, mm-hmm. you know, kind of wearing a smile.
Manny Scott said that, right? When we had Manny Scott here opening day, and said, I don't care if you have two teeth in your mouth, you should smile. And it's a gift that you give the world. I heard, and I don't know if that was Manny or somebody that said that. Your smile is a gift that you give every person mm-hmm. that you give it to. And it's so true. And, you know, you think about people that smile and it just makes you feel good, right?
Mm-hmm. And I even have, I recall there was one time a few years back, even someone said to me, you know, are you always smiling? You're always smiling. And I said, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't we be smiling? You know, we're working here with kids. You know, I love my job. That's something that is so true. And my husband will say it because...
And Tony's an educator as well, right?
Tony
he's a school counselor.
Academic advisor, yes, okay. At a community college. And he's always says, I don't know anyone who loves their job as much as you, but I do. I'm sitting
and he loved the book, right? He loved the book.
He loved the book.
He used it on your vacation?
He did, yes.
On the plane, right?
Yes.
What did he use that?
As a pillow.
Yes. Yeah. So he became somewhat quasi-famous for that, you know,
right.
But I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. But smiling is important because, like you said, you know, it's contagious. And, you know, if you're smiling, other people are going to smile. If someone's having a bad day, that might be what lifts them up.
And our job, and I believe this as educators, is getting harder because kids are are needier. They're facing more and more trauma. We're, you know, our families are moving so fast, and everything is going so fast that we really do need to take the time to look at the bright side of things. And as hard as our jobs are as educators, you're right, it's a wonderful job. We get a chance every single day to make a difference in a child's life. As administrators, we get a chance every single day to build somebody up in our school and make them smile or give them a smile. As teachers, we get the chance to build up our colleagues. So, you know, we build these relationships, and we're in it. I think there's no job more important than being an educator, because, you know, if I'm a doctor, I can save somebody's life, but if I'm a teacher, I can give somebody a life. And that, to me, is so important. And, you know, we have the opportunity every day to make somebody's day better, make somebody's day worse. And, you know, which path are we going to choose, right?
Absolutely. And you know, we're so in control of that. You know, I always, even in conversations with kids, you know, it's the choices that we make impact others and affect others. And if we could smile to someone, if we could communicate, listen, be kind, you know, those were be kind and listen are my other two, you know, if we could do those things, those are going to stay with people. They're going to remember that. That's going to help to build that relationship and really build that trust, which is necessary. And for kids now in schools, they need someone in school that they can go to and trust, you know, because there's so much going on in all of their lives. And it's important that they have someone that, you know, they find comfort with.
I agree. I remember when you started, and you know, those conversations and being present in those conversations and, you know, talking to someone and giving them 5 minutes of your attention, 2 minutes of your attention without looking at the phone or without returning an email or without thinking about a million other things. It's hard to do, but it goes such a long way. But also those little tokens of appreciation. I remember when you first started at Havistar, or if it was last year, you and Mr. Herrero, Benito Herrero, the principal, you guys did a whole week of just teacher appreciation stuff, and there were some really cool ideas. What were some of those things you guys did?
So we did a week of holiday cheer. So actually it was the week before the holiday break in December, and every day there was a poem in their mailboxes, and they were given a different treat. So one day it was hot chocolate and cookies. Another day it was actually just a chocolate bar. Another day it was a pen, an engraved pen. So those were one of the things we're trying to, you know, every year do something different. We did an apple bar last year.
What's an apple bar?
So an apple bar.
No alcohol, right?
No. Not during school hours. No. So, you know, apples with caramel and chocolate, but we set up in the faculty lounge, and it's just kind of a treat.
Bobbing for apple. Do you like that? Halloween is just over. Were you a bobbing for apple person?
Not at all.
You didn't like the germs.
No, it's something about, you know, going in for apples that everyone was going in for.
I was good at it, too. I'd get them right up. Yeah, I remember that in middle school. Yeah. Best Halloween costume you ever wore?
Best Halloween costume. Honestly, I don't really like Halloween.
Don't like Halloween. I'm going to swing, because I used to not like it either. Like, oh, you got to laugh at everybody. Oh, nice costume, you know. And it's like, I just want, you know. But now I'm kind of, I guess I'm getting older, and I'm kind of embracing it. This year I was the listeners, last time we talked, Gary and I were talking about what we were going to be, and I landed on Bob Ross. Did you like it?
That was a wonderful costume.
Now, did you dress up this year?
I wore a pumpkin shirt.
Okay, all right. That's
as far as I'll go. But I will say the best costume, if I could say, was probably I was like 9 or 10, and it was She-Ra. You remember She-Ra?
She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Yeah, but it was one of those creepy plastic masks.
They don't make those anymore. I had a spider, and you couldn't breathe them. It was
there were no holes.
No holes. Like a little hole in the mouth. Holes,
yeah, for your eyes. But that was about it. So that'd probably be my best.
One year, I was my favorite. My mother was telling me about it. I was Fast Hands Felicello. And I was a boxer. It was when Rocky was out. I'm a big Rocky fan. Our listeners know that. And I had the Fast Hands Felicello. I had the boxing gloves. It was pretty cool. So, you know, you've done a great job, and you and the principal have done a great job with the staff there of building a school community. And it's, like you said, it's a work in progress. Yep. And I know you're really excited. This year you guys have instituted the house team, the house system. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the house system is actually modeled from the Ron Clark Academy down in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And the house system is basically the entire school, students and staff, are placed in four houses. And each house stands for something. So it really embeds character education. And it's about creating a culture of belonging, boosting character ed, creating a peer mentorship, but also a system in place that kids know they have adults who care about them.
And so, like, if I'm a teacher, I might be a red,
Amistad.
Amistad.
So, yes, that's your house, actually. So you need to learn how to, you need to learn it.
That's right. And, So I could be, my teacher might be in Amistad or maybe a different house, but there's other mm-hmm. teachers that are Amistad, and I might be a fourth grader and sixth graders are Amistad. Is that kind of how?
Yes, yeah, so staff members get to pick their house, any house that they feel like speaks to them and that really embodies who they are. And then students, actually, we have this huge wheel in our center hall that students spin.
So it's a random, the students, it's random?
The wheel picks the students, actually.
Oh, kind of like the Harry Potter?
Right, exactly, yeah. Yep. So it's really like the Harry Potter houses as well. So the wheel picks the students, and then students are placed in the four houses with staff members. And then basically there is going to be house rewards throughout the year, house championship. We just launched our house points, actually, so that started yesterday. So every staff member
I saw that was really cool. And you have it on the TV screen, and then it updates.
Yes,
because the teachers have the app, and I know one girl wore her colors and she got a point for that. And how does that work with the teacher? So if I'm an Amistad in my class, mm-hmm. do I give the blue and all the houses points for certain things that they do?
Yeah, so for example, I saw students, they were fixing something in the hallway where everyone else was kind of walking by, so I called them over and I said, oh, I'm going to give each of you a point, and they were so excited. And then I find out that they were in House Rever, which is not my house. So I was a little upset about giving points to, you know, the other house.
Do some of our people get a little competitive and they don't, you know, like, not give the other?
Well, everyone is giving points, but, okay. I mean, it's healthy competition. But, yeah, you know, you feel like, where's my house? They need to step up. So, actually, my house, some of the boys came to me and they said, you know, why are we behind? And I said, well, it's really based on your actions and the things you're doing. So you need to just step up and earn some points for the house. So, actually, it shifted. Our house now is not last place. We're in third place at the end of the day. So we moved up a little bit.
Which house was in first place? I forget, because I was there and I saw it.
House Isabindi was first.
Oh, I thought it was Amistad.
It changed.
Jeez, that threw me for a loop. So you've done a lot of good work as an assistant principal, you know, young mom, two boys, wonderful family. Where do you see your career going? I mean, you're early part of your career, but what aspirations mm-hmm. do you have? What do you want to be? Do you someday? Is it? Where do you see this going?
You know, I feel like every position I've ever held, I'm so blessed because I've loved everyone. And I truly love this district where I am now.
Me too. We're partial, but I love it too.
I love it. You know, I love North Rockland. So, you know, I see myself here. And I see myself, you know, continuing to work here in the district with the families and students that we have and, you know, loving it all.
Yeah. And I'm glad to hear that because I definitely want to have you stay in North Rockland. So, you know, every week when we do our little podcast, we take a little break and talk a little some other topic. Mm-hmm. Gary and I did sports, and I know you were an athlete in high school and played basketball and
soccer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you play college?
It's been a while. No.
But I think we're gonna kind of audible a little bit and maybe talk a different topic. And you got me thinking a little bit when we started talking about the Harry Potter system and all of that. How about, like, amusement parks? Are you an amusement park person?
You know, I do love amusement parks, especially now with the kids. I will say that I've become more fearful as I've gotten older of roller coasters.
Yeah. But I'm afraid of heights, but I'll do the roller. Uh-huh. Some of them. I got to close mm-hmm. my eyes. Okay. So what are your favorite parks?
I mean, I love Disney World. Yeah, we have yet to take our boys, so that's something that we're going to be working towards.
Have you done the new Avatar Land and ride?
No.
That is incredible. It's so good.
Which park is that at?
That's at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
And they have the whole land of the Pandora, and it's really cool. And they have two rides. One is like a slow river thing, and it's got animation. It's just a regular dark ride. It's fine. Yeah. But then this other one where you get on the Banshee, and it's I was a little scared because, believe it or not, the ride that scares me the most at Disney is Soaring because you're up high, and we were at a conference.
Like
I was with my boss on this ride one time, and you know, and she's very motherly, and I'm up there, and I'm like all of a sudden scared, and I grab her hand, and she's like, it's okay, it's all right, you know. But I was a little afraid of getting on it because it's kind of like that sort of 3D screen, and you know, but you get on this Banshee, they buckle you in, I felt fine, and it really feels like you are flying on this Banshee Pandora, and they're shooting, you know, smells and water, and it's pretty wild. You have to do it. Harry Potter Land, have you done that?
Yes, we actually, my husband and I had gone, this was pre-kids, we went, I think it was the first summer that it opened.
Did you get a wand?
We didn't, because there was a 3-hour wait, so we said, you know, not for anything, we're not staying on a line for 3 hours to get a wand.
Yeah, the wands are pretty cool, though. And then you do a pattern, and it does, like, shoots the water. And then, like, it was funny, because me and my son were in the one spot, and it shoots water, out of the thing, and it'll shoot it on people that work in a spot. So we were like trying to time it that we could squirt people. He thought it was funny. My wife did not, but no, hey, yeah. You know, the guys.
We just did Hershey Park last May. We went for Lucas's birthday, my oldest, and he asked if we can go back to Hershey Park for his 6th birthday this year.
I love Hershey Park. I think it's awesome. It's just clean and family fun, and they have big rides. They have little rides. They have the chocolate. I mean, who doesn't love the chocolate and the chocolate world and the tour?
Well, no, we went. They had an open chocolate world. Yeah, they were doing construction.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, they redid it.
Right when you walked in, right?
Yeah.
So it was all construction when we went last May. So I think they've done it.
The chocolate world's open year round, and then the park itself.
Oh, not chocolate world. What's that? Chocolate town? Is that what they're calling it? That entrance? There's a whole entrance that they're moving all these restaurants. They're adding this whole section to it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah,
so when you go in.
What's your favorite ride there?
I loved the Rhesus ride. I mean, I love
that
the ride.
That was cool.
Right?
You shoot it, it's like the Buzz Lightyear.
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool. Did you do Super Duper Looper?
No.
No Super Duper Looper?
No.
What about the wooden roller coaster?
Well, we have the kids now.
Yeah, they're
so it's
little.
Kind of hard.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to watch them? I can't just leave them on.
That's true. That is true. I hear you. And Disney, favorite ride, Disney?
Disney, favorite ride.
All right, top three rides, Disney.
Top three. I mean, I liked Space Mountain.
Yeah.
I love Space Mountain. Yeah. I have to say, what's the Rockland roller coaster?
Oh, I like that. It's not Rockland roller coaster. It's
Rocking
roller coaster. But I think we can make our own North Rockland roller coaster.
Right?
North Rockland roller coaster.
Right. Rocking
with Aerosmith.
Yes, yes.
I love that. That is so cool.
Yes.
And it's like, 3, 2,
and
it just
they
shoot you out of the thing.
Yes.
And yeah, really cool. All right, so I got that. All right.
And the other one that I liked in Disney from Animal Kingdom,
with the monster.
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest, yes,
that's
very
it.
Good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, one time me and the boys were on that, and it started a Florida downpour, like in the middle of the ride. And
did they keep running it?
They kept running it, and at first, oh no, and then we just got into it. We're like, just enjoy it.
Right.
And one of those things you never forget,
yes.
And it was like a cool experience. So, yeah, I love Disney. Going back April break this year to Disney, Rebecca and I,
nice.
And we're bringing only one of the three boys because Justin's in college and Scott has a different break, so it's going to just be the three of us. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, we're
where
excited
are you
about it. At the Beach Club.
Oh.
So you can walk to Epcot and
mm-hmm.
to the one that has North Rockland Roller Coaster.
North Rockland,
okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to throw Tower of Terror in there, though. I really love Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror is good.
Yeah,
yes, that's a great ride.
That's a good one, yeah. So, Amaris, as we kind of wrap this up, and I know you got to get home to Tony and the boys, and you're cooking tonight?
Tony's cooking. He is.
Really? Now, but you have to hang his suits up,
I did
right?
send him the recipe, though.
You did? And
yes.
you hang his suits up?
I do not hang his suits.
Okay, because we had this
no,
debate.
No, we did, yes. Rebecca hangs
we have a system. I put it on the side of the bed, and then, go. You thought that was ridiculous.
A little bit.
I do other things, though. I'm not good at I just can't hang it. It falls off. It gets wrinkled. It's, All right.
Right.
So, what's Tony cooking?
He is cooking broccoli and cheese soup, I think.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes,
I
in
like
the Instant Pot.
In the Instant Pot.
The Instant Pot.
Instant Pot.
It's
we heard about
friend.
That from Angela Stockman. Remember our friend Angela?
Oh, I don't think I was part of
you
that conversation,
that
but I ordered off QVC one night because I was watching. I'm like, this thing's amazing.
We were at a conference one year. We saw Angela. She was presenting. She was a wonderful presenter at Learning in the Brain in Boston, and we ended up going out to dinner afterwards, and we started talking about the Instant Pot. She's like, oh my God, you have to get... And I bought one, and then I loved it. It's a great thing. So as we kind of wrap this up, if you could give one tip to your first year administrator self on a way to build relationships or on a way to navigate that first year, what would that tip be?
I think for first year teachers, I think that there's so much going on that you become overwhelmed because you're trying to learn the curriculum, you're trying to, teach units and get through things. And I would suggest, slow down and really talk to your kids and not just about schoolwork, but get to know them and, find out, what are things that they like. And actually, I'll just say, for an example, I just actually had Lucas's parent-teacher conference last night, and his teacher is phenomenal. And the way that she shared, one of the things she shared was things I know about Lucas. Mm. And as she shared, I was like, wow.
What
like,
a great, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's funny because Rebecca went to to Andrew's parent-teacher conference, and one of the teachers didn't even know that he was a senior. Mm-hmm. And then another told her this whole thing about him and how he learned and how he spoke. And such a big difference, right? Just that you know, I want to know that you know my kid.
But that's the investment. I think that's the time that you take to get to know the kids you work with. And I saw that with Lucas's teacher, and she already, I mean, the things that she had down, my husband was laughing. He's like, she totally gets them already. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would say definitely that is get to know your kids and not just about schoolwork and school, but outside, because they all have, you know, lives and they're doing things and they have families and they have things that they love and passions that they have, and learn about that, because that's going to help you to really connect with them.
Yeah. And just hearing you say that brings me back to some of the best advice I got. I was 21 years old, going to be a new teacher, a phys ed teacher up in the school. And one of my friend's dads gave me and my friend Marco advice as we were going in. And he was a construction guy, and he was a man's man and a poker guy, and, you know, really just a fun dude. And he gave me some of the best advice, and it was so simple. He's like, you guys go up there, and every morning you say, good morning, ma'am, good morning, mm-hmm. sir, and you smile, and, you know, can I get you some coffee? And you smile at the kids, and you're nice, and you know, you do what you're asked to do. And I was like, is it that simple? And, you know, right. In a lot of ways, it really is. Just be a nice person, be a good person, mm-hmm. Smile, as you said before, and I think we'll all be okay, because we're all in it together. We want to make things better for kids, right?
It's all about kids and making it better for kids.
Absolutely. Amaris, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I thank you so much for joining us tonight, and please thank the boys and Tony for giving you to us tonight. Mm-hmm. And guys, until next time, this is the admin signing off. Thank you very much.